Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Too many people, unfortunately, on Bray Seafront using their phones, it seems, to get a decent quality line back to Ken. We'll see if we can't return to him a little bit later on in the programme. But Bray Seafront, the place to be for those who want to say their final farewell today to Sinead O'Connor. North County Dublin Stables is now on the hunt for a new property for their therapeutic equine centre after being given notice to quit. The Royal Stables in Skerries is run by Georgia Lillis, the daughter of Celine Cawley, who was killed by her husband, Eamon Lillis, at their Dublin home in 2008. Georgia says the centre has been a lifeline for the many children that she works with. I spoke to her a little earlier on this morning and asked her first to tell me what exactly it is that she does at the Royal Stables in Skerries.
So we're one of the only dedicated therapeutic riding centres in North Dublin at the moment. There are obviously a lovely few places around that do both mainstream riding and therapeutic riding, but we do purely therapeutic riding. So we have a number of clients that come to us every Sunday, and we were actually looking to expand before we got our unfortunate notice to quit there nearly two and a half weeks ago now. And they would come for various different reasons to help come ride our ponies and, you know, enjoy time outside.
You're pushing at an open door when it comes to trying to convince me about the benefits of equine therapy and what it can do for kids with special needs. But why do you think it is that equine therapy reaches kids in a way that other forms of therapy aren't usually as successful?
It's something I never thought of until, you know, I genuinely saw it myself and experienced it myself. I obviously have been obsessed with horses for a long time. And, you know, just looking at the children that we have of all ages, we have from probably about 3 years old until up to maybe 14, 15 years old coming to us. And it's just the different aspects of just seeing them blossom. You know, there's the socialization and inclusion. They get a bond with a horse and it just completely helps with their confidence because, you know, they're doing things that's up high and it's a big animal, and, you know, they get understand patience, and then they gain self-esteem from being and doing something on such a big animal. Then they just get physical benefits that they might not know they're getting while they're obviously doing the sessions. So their balance improves, their core strength improves, their motor skills, their, you know, fine and gross motor skills, their sensory regulation is helped. Then the psychological benefits, you know, their self-esteem is improved, their self-confidence, you know, their emotional control, and then also the social benefits. You know, we have volunteers that help out with us who are also sort of neurodivergent as well, and neurotypical kids that help out too. So they get to have a bond with and interact with their peers from all walks of life, and they get to make friendships, and then obviously then be out in nature. You know, I know the Irish summer isn't really playing ball with us at the moment, but they do get to be out in whatever nature we get at the moment.
It is physical therapy. It is emotional therapy. It is showing them that they can be in charge of a 500-600 kilo beast and tell it what to do while also having an emotional connection with it. And it's all fun.
Yeah, 100%. You know, the sessions only last about 30 minutes or so because, you know, it might not seem that long, but anyone that I know that we do a session with that will be, say, more neurotypical, they go, oh, it's not that long to sit on a horse for 30 minutes and walk around. But it's a full body workout because we don't use saddles or bridles. We use a pad and a roller. So they're sitting on a pad, so obviously they don't get dirty or anything like that. And then the heat from the horse warms up your legs, which will relax your muscles. And then you have a handle to hold on just in case you need a bit of balance and stuff like that. And then there's a leader leading the horse, but the person on the horse is entirely in control of their session. You know, we'll guide them in activities and stuff like that. But if they don't want to do a task, you know, we'll encourage them to do it, but they don't have to if they don't want to. So it's complete autonomy over what they want to do and decision making.
You're neurodivergent yourself as well. Do you think that that gives you an extra insight into the kids who are coming, or is it all down to the horses?
I think a little bit. You know, I'm dyslexic and I have ADD. You know, there's obviously dyslexia and ADD and ADHD is a spectrum, much like autism is. And, you know, I'm probably learned to deal with mine over the years, so it's probably not as noticeable as others. But I think, you know, I understand where they're coming from, you know, in terms of looking at the world through a slightly different lens. I remember that's one thing that was always said to me as a kid, was your brain will look at a different way to solve a problem than someone else who will look at it, you know, in a typical way. Whereas the way that, say, other dyslexic people or other neurodivergent people look at a problem might actually be the more interesting way of solving a problem.
You were 16 when you went through the trauma of your mum being taken from you, and you were well into horses, I think, by that stage of your life. Did they become your less typical way, as you say, of solving the problems that life was throwing at you? Did they become a sanctuary?
Oh, for sure. Horses have kind of, I think, always been my sanctuary as a kid. You know, I was an only child anyway, so I grew up with animals, dogs, cats, horses. And especially when my mum passed, you know, it was something I ran to was a horse, because horses don't judge you. They don't care, you know, who you are. They don't care how you look. They don't care if you're, you know, anything. They just care about you. And I think it's so important that, you know, when I was going through the trauma I went through, that I had my horses to hold and, you know, tell my deepest, darkest secrets to. And, you know, just the movement of a horse, even when you're sitting on them, I think it's just something that releases endorphins in your brain. Well, it just certainly does for me. You know, anytime I ride a horse, I always get off it and I feel really zen. And it's just like, sometimes, like, I feel even now, like, it's one of those days where you're just like, I need to ride a horse. I need to sit in a horse. And it's just, I think a lot of people might not understand that because they're not horsey, or but I think a lot of horsey listeners will get that, where you just go, I need to sit in a horse. And it just seems to just let your problems melt away, because it doesn't let your brain think about anything else but what you're doing in the moment. And I think that's so important, especially nowadays with technology and social media and everything that people are being hammered with all the time. It just makes sure that you're just thinking about the horse in front of you and what you're doing. And that certainly helped distract me when I was 16 from all the horror.
To what extent then do you think that you were meant to do this, that the horrible events of your life set you on this course, running into horses, and also then being able to take your own outlook on life and horses and use it to help so many other kids?
I mean, I've always wanted to work with horses. You know, it was one thing my mum said, you know, probably not to do. There's not a lot of money in it. And she was completely and utterly right.
Very wise woman, yes.
Yes. But for me, the kind of finance outweighs the passion. The passion outweighs the finance completely. It's just, I get up in the morning every day and smile, knowing that I get to work with horses and see how kids change and develop. And it's just the best in the world. Okay. And I just think it's something I've always wanted to do in the back of my head. I did go to college and do something different, but I just kept looping back to horses. It was no matter what I did, I'd loop back.
And Georgia, do you think that mum would be tutting now, saying, oh, Georgia, the horses, why didn't you do something else? Or would she be indulgent of this?
I think silently she would be tutting, but I think deep down she would be proud. You know, she was an absolute amazing woman. She taught me everything I know, and she was an amazing role model, and like, and a very powerful woman, you know, especially in the industry that she was in. So, you know, I think she would have been proud. I think she is proud.
And the task that you have ahead of you, if this is something that you can accomplish, you'll be even more reason to be, there will be even more reason for her to be proud of you. What is the situation you find yourself in now?
Our task right now is to try and find a new home, kind of as close to where we are as possible. So we're currently looking for somewhere in Rush, Skerries, Lusk in North County Dublin.
Mm-hmm. Because let's be clear about this, not all of your clients are going to be well-heeled and able to travel long distances.
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of our clients rely on public transport to get to us. So currently we're on the 33A bus route. We're trying to find even a field that we could possibly purchase, and a yard we can rent, somewhere that we can start afresh, and okay. Kind of go from there.
And how much land are we talking about here in acres?
6 to 8 acres would be fantastic. We're currently working off about 5, so
with
it's very
stables,
small.
Ideally.
Ideally with stables, but if it's a blank field and we have to start from scratch, we'll do that. You know, we've all faced worse, and we'll rise up again and do better. So,
and ideally on the 33A bus route as well, getting even more specific.
if we could, it's a very specific for us. I do grant that it's very hard, but you know, at the end of the day, these services that we provide, there's not a lot of services like this in the country for people with special needs and people who are neurodivergent, and things are being taken away from these people more often than not. So we want to try and keep that going.
When we hear what we have heard about child and adolescent mental health services and the terrible state that they're in the last couple of weeks, to lose something like this would really be a really cruel loss in the area that you're in.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said at the start, there are other fantastic places around North County Dublin, Dublin in general, and further afield that provide the same services that I do. But at the end of the day, we all have waiting lists, unfortunately. So it's just, I'd hate to see everyone who's come so far have to leave us and go back on a waiting list and lose a lot of things and a lot of ground that they've gained.
Well, there you go. That's the ask then, folks. 8 acres, ideally with stables, even more ideally on the 33 bus route. It's put out there now. We'll see what the universe throws back. Georgia Lillis, take care of yourself. Continued success. And thanks very much for talking to us.
Thanks very much, Philip.
And if you want to find out a little bit more about what you might be able to do if you can help, the Royal Stables is on Facebook or at theroyalstables.ie if you think you can help, as I suggest. Coming up, though, Quran burning even in Sweden.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.